Lamp, would you state your name and agency number for the record then?
My name is Fernando Cortez. My agency number is 282-558.
So who has him? Well, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse will be conducting your hearing, sir.
And good morning. Good morning. You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding the three allegations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you about this hearing, and I see that you signed your form on September 14th. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. And that form listed your hearing rights, and one of those rights is that you can hire a lawyer to represent you. But I don't see one there with you. Do you have an attorney, or are you representing yourself today?
I don't have an attorney.
So representing yourself today?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to introduce you to the board conducting the hearing. The members today, we have all five of us here today. To my far left, all the way down at the far end of the bench, is the Honorable David Neal. Next to him is the Honorable Michael Johnson. In the center is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me is the Honorable Louis Quinones. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the panel chair today for you. Also in the room with us is Mr. Osborne. He's a community corrections officer, and he's representing the Department of Corrections. There, you can see Mr. Osborne now. The Department of Corrections, and also your parole officer he's representing. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. And we don't have any visitors.
No, sir, we don't have any sign in.
All right, thank you. So Mr. Cortez and Mr. Osborne, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Cortez?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Thank
you, ma'am.
All right. This hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of your supervision, and phase two will be determined if your supervision should be continued or revoked. Mr. Cortez, I'm going to read from your warrant each allegation, and as I read each one to you, I need you to tell me if it's true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, we'll take some testimony from Department of Corrections, and then we can discuss it. So the board will make the final determination as to whether you violated your conditions. Do you understand that process? Okay, thank you. So let me start with phase one of your hearing, and I'll read you each allegation, and you can tell me true or false. First allegation is that Mr. Cortez has violated the conditions of supervision and lapsed or probably about to lapse into criminal ways or company as follows. Violation of condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about May 19, 2017, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated May 22, 2017. Mr. Cortez, is that true or false?
That's true.
Okay, thank you. Allegation number 2, violation of condition of supervision number 3, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 5338 West Grenadine Road, Levine, Arizona, on or about May 20th, 2017, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown, and thus you were an absconder from supervision. Mr. Cortez, is that true or false?
That's true.
That's true? Okay, thank you. And then the third allegation is the violation of condition of supervision number 5, as demonstrated by your engagement in physically assaultive behavior on or about May 20th, 2017, at 2634 North 51st Avenue in Phoenix, Arizona. Mr. Cortez, is that true or false?
That's false.
That's false? All right. Then we'll hear some testimony from Mr. Osborne about allegation number 3. Mr. Osborne, please.
Yes, ma'am. Allegation number three. According to the Phoenix Police report written by Officer Jason Bennett, badge number 7121, on May 20th, 2017 at 1:21 p.m., offender Cortez engaged in assaultive behavior towards his girlfriend, Angela Padilla, by striking her in the side of the head with his fist several times, causing a cut on her ear and bleeding. Officer Bennett and Officer Brookins, badge number 9452, responded to a domestic violence assault call at 2634 North 51st Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, 85035. Officers arrived on scene and made contact with Angela Padilla, who had large amounts of blood around her neck and left ear. Ms. Padilla stated that she was driving offender Cortez to their home in Levine when he asked her to divert to a location near 51st Avenue and Thomas Road. Ms. Padilla believed that the offender was looking for drugs. Ms. Padilla stated that the offender told her that he had just obtained employment and he needed to get high before his first day of work. Ms. Padilla stated that the offender told her to pull over and picked up a stranger that she believed was a drug dealer. Ms. Padilla refused to pick up the stranger and a verbal argument ensued and she pulled into a parking lot at the address listed above. Ms. Padilla stated that they both exited the vehicle and offender Cortez punched her 3 to 4 times in the head, knocking her down to the ground. Ms. Padilla stated that this was how she received her injuries. The offender fled the area on foot and was not located by the police. Follow-up. On May 22nd of 17, the case was closed due to the fact that Ms. Padilla did not desire prosecution and there were no independent witnesses.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Mr. Cortez, what is not true about that allegation?
Everything about it. We had an argument. She was upset because I was going to leave her. I didn't want to be with her no more. She thought I was leaving her for another girl when I wasn't. I don't know what she did to herself, but I left, and I'm just hearing about this now. The first time I heard about this was when I came back to ADC. I didn't even hear about this on the street.
So you weren't aware about the blood on her face and...
Oh, no, none of that. I left her.
All right, well, thank you, Mr. Cortez.
I understand that that sounds bad. I mean, I don't know what's going on, but obviously there's not much whatever's going on because prosecution didn't accept the case or something. I'm a little nervous right now. Excuse me.
That's all right. Understandable. I think we'll proceed to move through this hearing and move on, and we can talk more about this after. But to conclude phase one, based on Mr. Cortez's admission for allegations one and two, and based on testimony from the Department of Corrections for allegation three, I move to find Mr. Cortez delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Thank you.
Agree.
Just 1 second, Mr. Cortez. I need to do some paperwork. Okay. All right. So, Mr. Cortez, we'll move to phase two of your hearing. And we will now determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Osborne gives us some additional information, and we'll be right back with you. Hold on. Mr. Osborne.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Mr. Cortez was released from DOC custody on March 31st of 2017. He was arrested on August 24th, 2017 by the Yuma Police Department on his subscribing warrant status. It was returned back to our custody on August 25th of 2017 with 96 absconded with a community supervision end date of June 4th of 2018. Current conviction, 2016, aggravated assault, 5 years. Prior convictions, 2013, aggravated assault, 9 years, 6 months. And 2013, aggravated assault, 8 years, 6 months. He said 1 term with DOC, has a CUIR score of 3.3, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse court one. There is SCG and gang information noted. On July 16th of 2013, Jimmy Cortez admitted to being a Sereno from Los Angeles Beach, California, from Long Beach, California. He has a moderate disciplinary history with promoting prison contraband, possession of a communications device, and since his return, he has received three write-ups, one on 9-7-17 for disrupting count, guilty minor violation, 9-14-17, violation of a department rule informal resolution, and 9-28-17, violation of a department rule informal resolution. Other arrests, 1997, burglary, California unknown, 1997, burglary, California juvenile detention, 2000, theft of means of transportation, California felony conviction probation, 2001, theft of means of transportation, California felony conviction probation, 2001, armed robbery, California unknown, 2002, theft of means of transportation, California unknown, 2002, robbery, California felony conviction state prison, 2002, theft of means of transportation, California felony conviction state prison, 2007, misconduct involving weapons, California felony conviction state prison, 2007, theft of means of transportation, California felony conviction state prison, in 2009, assault with murder intent, California unknown. He has a community risk score of G5V6, and I do have status and charges attached for supervising parole officer Kimberly Lease, dated Tuesday, October 3rd of 2017. Status of charges, the case was closed due to the fact that Ms. Padilla did not desire prosecution, and there were no independent witnesses. That is all.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. So, Mr. Cortez, it looks like you were initially released and didn't show for your initial intake, and there was a warrant, but then it was quashed right away. What happened that you didn't show for your initial intake?
Can you repeat that again?
Yes, it looks like you were released from Winslow and didn't report for your initial intake. You're supposed to report the next day, and there was a warrant issued, but it ended up being quashed. What happened with that?
Oh, the day that I got to the parole office, I got there kind of late because we came from Winslow all the way down, and it took us a while to get here because we stopped at a casino or something. But I get there, right, I think, I don't know what time they closed, but it was either 3-something or 4-something, and me and the guy at the door had a discrepancy. He was being real disrespectful, I felt. The guy that let us into the parole office, and I went outside, and I wasn't really focused at the time. I was just getting out of prison. I wasn't thinking right. I had an issue with myself. I had a habit that I was allowing to take over me. And I wasn't thinking correctly, and I just left. I took off walking down the street, and I got picked up by somebody, and they took me back. Ms. Padilla actually, and she took me back over there, and I get there, and it was closed. So I explained all this to my parole officer at the time, and on Monday, I think I got released Friday, and I explained it to him Monday, and I let him know what happened, and they just put me back on parole. They dropped the warrant, and that was it. But I just had, like, I don't know. I thought the guy was being really disrespectful at the door that lets us in to see the parole officers.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the explanation. It looks like your approved residence was with your girlfriend, Angela Padilla, at 5338 West Grenadine Road in Levine. Did you stay there the whole time that you were on supervision?
Yes, I did.
Okay, up through this, the last, looks like, what's that date, July? Was it May? May 20th? Up through May 20th, did you leave that residence at that time, May 20th?
Yeah, whenever. I don't remember the exact dates, but whenever I missed the UA, I don't know, it just kind of got to my head. I thought I was going to get arrested, so I left.
I see. All right, I see that the failed to submit a UA was on May 19th. So the next day, the 20th, you decided, you didn't think about talking to your parole officer?
No, I don't know. At that time, I just felt everything was falling apart for me. My relationship wasn't working the way that I thought it was before I got out. I wasn't really focused, right? And everything just kind of, my mind went, I don't know, I just expected the worst, so I ran.
Okay, understood. Have you ever, I see you've been in California for a lot of your life. Have you ever been on parole before?
Yes, I have.
You have. And how did those turn out?
They turned out all right. I mean,
you were able to work with your parole officer and report in when you were supposed to? And
the first couple of times, no. I don't know. It was after years of prison, and it takes a minute for your mind to really adjust. And I was a kid, so I ran the first few times. But after that,
You kind of figured it out. The parole officer works with
you.
Were you working at all when you were out?
Recently?
Yes, when you were released and on supervision, were you working? Did you have a job?
No, I was just about to get a job. It took me about a month and a half to get my birth certificate and all the stuff that I had in order to get an ID.
Right.
They let me out with an ID that had the wrong social security on it, and Arizona would supply me with an ID, so I had to wait until I got my birth certificate from Texas, and then I had to get that in order to get the social security card.
Okay, good. But you have all that stuff now?
Yeah, I have all that now.
Good. All right. Well, that's good. Let's see here. It looks like you were staffed a couple of times, the one time about not making it to your initial intake. And then there was a diluted UA sample, it looks like, on April 27th. And do you remember what was going on at that point? Why did that sample come back diluted?
I don't know. It was hot. It was in the summertime, or it was starting to get hot out there. And I let my people know that I was drinking a lot of water that night.
Okay, so maybe.
I was working on some stuff in the backyard.
Okay. All right. And it looks like there were alleged reports of alcohol use. Were you using any alcohol?
Yes, I was.
So you were using some alcohol. And you know that's a violation of your conditions of supervision.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Mr. Quinones.
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Can you hear me, Mr. Cortez?
Yes, I can.
Is Ms. Padilla still your girlfriend?
We're kind of in limbo right now. I mean, she's a real good friend. I think she's always going to be there for me. But right, I don't have phone calls. I can't call. I mean, it could go anywhere. But as of right now, I'm not sure.
And my second question is, I think, and if I have it wrong, you can straighten me out, but you were actually picked up in Yuma?
Yes, sir.
Why did you end up in Yuma?
I have friends down here, and they let me come and stay with them. I'm not from this state, so I just came down to Yuma.
Thank you, Mr. Cortez. I have no further questions.
All right.
Mr. Neal?
You stated that you were just about to get a job, but then you said that the diluted UA was caused because you were working and drinking a lot of water. So were you working or weren't you working?
No, I said I was working on some stuff in the backyard.
That's not what you said.
And I was hot that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Anyone else? Dr. Wright?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Sir, if I heard correct, Department of Corrections said that you absconded for 96 days. What were you doing those 96 days when you absconded, sir?
I'm staying with friends of mine.
Where, in Phoenix area, Yuma? Where were you actually residing, sir?
In Yuma.
And you...
I don't know if you guys got the papers. There's a home that I'm trying to get into. It's a victory outreach home. I gave it to my CO3. It's a one-year commitment that I'm trying to get into. I need something to try to help me. Ms. Padilla, she goes to that church, and she's trying to give me help, too.
So, sir, now just explain very briefly. Well, what do you need help for? I mean, is it for drug use, alcohol use, or aggressive behavior? Well, what do you actually need help for at this time, sir?
I need help for the help I'm not needing here. This place hasn't done nothing for me. I need to find something that will focus me. I need to find something that will help me get back on track, because I did 4.5 years and I got out with the wrong mindset. And I need to get myself in something that's going to adjust me to actually getting out to the streets and being productive.
Now, I appreciate that, and I appreciate the fact that you're volunteering to do that, but I think that you're going to have to make up your own mind, you know, to make sure that you're really ready to get out and to be a productive citizen. And we trust that you're making up your mind that you are going to be a productive citizen. This Victory Outreach or whatever it is, where is that? Is that down in Yuma? Where is that program located?
That program is located in Phoenix somewhere. I'm not really sure where it's at, because I'm not familiar with the Phoenix area.
But your girlfriend or your former girlfriend, she's familiar with it, and that's part of her a church or whatever. Did I hear you correct, sir?
Yes, sir. She's been going to that church for years.
Okay.
And I never knew anything about it. I've been arrested.
Yes, sir. I do understand. Thank you so much, sir. And thank you so much, Madam Chair.
You're very welcome. Mr. Johnson, any questions?
No.
Thank you. Mr. Cortez, what do you do for your occupation when you do work? Do you have a trade, or what do you do?
Unfortunately, no, I don't. I had a rough childhood and upbringing. I've been in car shit a lot, but I have physical ability to do anything I need. I've worked for state club. I've worked at Sid Phoenix. I've done like a few things, but I mean, I haven't perfected my. I'm in construction class right here, though.
Well, you're in construction. Well, that's excellent, because there's a lot of need for that. All right. Do you have any family? You said you have friends here, but do you have any family in Arizona?
Miss Padilla is pretty much my family.
Your family, okay, understood.
Yeah, we have a daughter here.
Okay, so you have one daughter. Well, Mr. Padilla, we're coming to the, or I mean, sorry, Mr. Cortez, sorry. Talk about focus here. We're coming to the end of your hearing, but I want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement for the board before we go into discussion. Do you have anything else you'd like to tell us that you haven't already told us?
Yeah, this is the final statement or whatever. I'll get to that the next. I hope that the Diamondbacks losing last night hasn't made anybody mad in the face of judgment.
Okay, first point.
And, I would like to say, if you give me a chance, I'm ready. I got off unfocused, and I really didn't have my mind in the right place. And during my time on the run, and now too, I just... I see where I lapsed, I see where I messed up, and I'm ready to get it going. I need to. I have the means. I have the mindset. I just need a chance.
All right, thank you very much. Mr. Cortez, the board is going to enter in discussion and make a determination now. And it may sound like we're talking to you or people who are in the room with us, but we are, it's the board discussing your case among itself. We don't talk about cases before we come into this room. So if you would just stay on the phone and remain silent, we'll be back with you shortly. All right, Mr. Cortez? Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
The board is now in discussion. I'm looking at Mr. Cortez's case. He has a long involvement with the criminal justice system. Doesn't appear to be too much of a drug issue or a drug problem. There may be some, but it appears that in a lot of cases his method of problem solving is with his fists or with assaultive behavior. Had the issue, the allegation in the warrant that the person chose not to press charges, but that doesn't mean the event didn't happen. I appreciate what he said and what he admitted about his earlier experiences on parole, where I think the term he used was he left or didn't comply with the early parole. But I think as he has matured, he's figuring out that he needs to be compliant when he's on parole. He has one daughter, and that's certainly a good reason to bring him focus for the future. But he keeps using that word, focus. And I think that is something that he really needs to gain for himself. He needs to figure out what kind of employment he wants to have. He says he may like construction. He's an able-bodied person. He needs to get himself focused and get his life focused and get some goals. I am not considering him at this point to be a good candidate for continued community supervision, mostly because of the 96 days that he was absconded and kind of just the lack of focus. But I would be open to hearing views of my fellow board. Mr. Johnson?
I agree. I think he had 96 days out there, but I think he can take that time he has left to work on some things. I'm also concerned about his history, past history of aggravated assault and the actual assault on the female, although there was no charges filed because she did accuse, but there was blood on her, she had been assaulted, so.
Exactly. All right, anyone else? Mr. Nail?
Okay.
All right, I am going to make a motion then, and that is based on the points in the warrant, the testimony we've heard from Mr. Osborne on behalf of the Department of Corrections, and our discussion with Mr. Cortez, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Cortez was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and has lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second. Agree.
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 Thank you. Mr. Cortez, your community supervision has been revoked, and you'll be released from the Department of Corrections on or about June 4th of 2018. I would offer to you and suggest that you not look at this as a negative. Use this time, you kept using the word focus. Use this time, work with your CO3, get something together in your head. Think about what you'd like to do with the rest of your life. What would you like to do for a living? You've got a daughter out there. You've got a girlfriend who might be somebody you want to get back together with. Kind of take this time to get your mind together And so that when you're released in June, you're ready to go and kind of got yourself squared away in your head, because that is what's going to make you successful, is when you decide what you want to do. So we wish you all the luck, Mr. Cortez. Thank you very much for participating. Appreciate your testimony. And this hearing is now concluded. If you would please give the phone back to your CO3. Thank you very much.
Everyone. Mm-hmm.